Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday. It is June 4th, and Scott White is back, isn't he?
I'm here.
How was
yesterday?
Yesterday?
Yeah. Do you know what I was doing yesterday?
Yeah, I do.
It was fine.
I need to know about it. I've never had jury duty before.
It was fine. Yeah, I mean, unless you get picked for an actual trial, it's pretty...
What happens? What'd they do? Tell me the process.
You kind of just sit around in a room with other potential jurors, just waiting to be called into a courtroom and see if, and you know, get talked to by the judge and the two attorneys and see if you get chosen. And
did you know what the case was that they were potentially choosing you for?
Well,
or was it any number of cases?
It's any number of cases from the beginning, but once you go into a courtroom, it's for a specific case.
Okay.
And you know then.
Was it interesting? Did you want to be picked?
No, I'd rather be here talking about fantasy baseball with you, Adam.
He made 40 trades yesterday.
Yeah. Well, we're not doing any grade the trade today because there's just too much going on. We've got another pitching prospect being called up. We got Carlos Gonzalez potentially headed to the DL. Mike Trout has a back injury. I want to get the worryometer out for the first time in a while. As Joe Nathan was bad again, Dan Heron's been really bleh. James Shields giving up a lot of home runs lately. We've got some red-hot hitters like Lonnie Chisenhall and Xander Bogaerts, and even Brad Miller is putting the R back in Brad Miller.
RBI. I thought of another name for the bad player team.
Oh, yeah, what do we got?
Evan Rongoria.
Oh, very nice, Al. Hey, Scott, you hear the one about TJ House?
He was there on that show, by the way. Let's see if he remembers.
No. Al said, apparently, last week when TJ House started, we did the Daily League look ahead on Fantasy Baseball Today, Al said they could call Dr. James Andrews' office TJ House.
They could.
And then I said it yesterday on the show, like it was my own joke. And Al's like, I just told that one last week.
So, my bad. I think Al delivered it a little differently.
I did. I said... Up until recently, I thought TJ House was a place you went to have an appointment with Dr. Andrews.
I remember that now, Al.
I actually think the second delivery is better.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I win. Jonathan Singleton homered. In fact, there were so many home runs that our stat of the day and our quote of the day is from our boss, Jeff Tobin, who has to put all the home runs in the rundown for the video show. And he said, there were 36 bleeping home runs yesterday. Except he didn't say bleeping. So let's get to it. The big news. We've got a hashtag that you should know about that I heard on the Marlins Rays broadcast last night. It's the Marlins' effort to get Casey McGee in the All-Star game, and it's hashtag hits McGee. And that's awesome. Colorado will call up starting pitcher Eddie Butler Friday to replace Franklin Morales in the rotation. What do you guys think?
I'm intrigued. I mean, Butler has not been a strikeout pitcher at all at AA, so he's skipping two levels and coming up with not the results you'd like to see at AA, but still one of the top pitching prospects in baseball. So I'm interested to see what he does here. Not picking him up in mixed leagues.
I think that the fact that there was this step back with the strikeouts this year, combined with the fact that he pitches for the Rockies, look what happened to Drew Pomeranz there. Any other pitching prospect who's come up, with all but a few exceptions, they've not worked out so well. So with the strikeout rate, I mean, you could point to Garrett Cole as somebody who wasn't getting strikeouts right before his call up and was still great, Julio Teheran, sure. So but I think that the combination of the two factors is enough to steer me away from him in mixed leagues.
So we're still putting De La Rosa, Ruby, and Stroman ahead of him right now?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
All right, Carlos Gonzalez could be headed to the DL. His left index finger keeps swelling up. He says he can't grip a bat. So Corey Dickerson came in and replaced him yesterday. Who's excited?
I'm Dickerson in a lot of leagues, so I'm kind of excited about that. I think you're probably excited because you've been kind of anticipating this for Cargo.
For Cargo,
some time.
Look, I'd be kind of excited as a cargo owner, to be honest with you.
I think it's better.
You
said this on the show yesterday.
It's better to go on the DL. Assuming, look, if it's like a two-month thing, then no.
Yeah.
But go on the DL and get healthy. I don't like when guys play through injury.
Yeah, I don't know that it is going to be a short-term thing, though. I mean, he missed with a different finger injury. He missed almost the entire second half last year, so...
I'll take a month on the DL from Cargo if he can come back and be good. Get the knee right at the same time. Maybe come back and start stealing bases other than this very average player, if that, that he's been so far. I mean, he's been one of the biggest busts in fantasy, right?
I get your point. I'm just not sure.
That it's going to be a short term.
Yeah, I'm just not sure how easily this is going to be to get right.
Would you guys rather have Corey Dickerson or Josh Willingham?
I'd rather have Dickerson.
I would rather have Willingham.
Now, Dickerson, I don't think we can just assume he's going to get every day at bats.
No,
I don't think we can.
Nobody does.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So there's that. But he is a lefty, so figure against righties there'd be a good shot of him batting. Will Myers has a stress fracture in his wrist. He could miss 2 months. Any interest in Kevin Kiermaier?
Not exactly. I am interested in his defensive impact.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the sort of more marginal raised pitchers, Odorizzi, who's a fly ball guy. Eric Bedard, who actually hasn't been bad lately, not going deep into games, but otherwise has actually been good and might be better because he, too, is a fly ball pitcher who could benefit from Kiermaier being in the outfield. Played center last night. Probably going to play a lot of right, I would assume.
Yeah. The Rays broadcasters were just raving about him, and I think he tripled.
He could also give you stolen bases, but I do see Kiermaier himself as an AL-only guy.
Jerickson Profar expects to miss the rest of the season due to his torn shoulder. What does that do for him in keeper leagues? We got a question about
that. Gosh, I own him in... I own him in one, but it's a little different. It's a sim league, so... Next year, I'll kind of be reliving this year in it. So, anyway, for the more normal fantasy owners, I think a lot's going to depend on the way Rougned Odor performs in his absence. Because if he proves he deserves to be an everyday player in the big leagues going into next year, where do they play Profar?
Well, Profar was the number one prospect in baseball, right?
I understand that, but what are they going to do?
Well, they trade Odor.
Or Profar.
Yeah.
Or Profar. Right? Yeah. I mean, shoulder injuries are always worrisome for hitters or pitchers. Or worrisome for anybody.
So, like,
I wouldn't want to, like... I think there's a better chance than not Profar will be back kind of picking up where he left off next season.
Like, give me a round that you think would be good keeper value. Or I guess to put it in perspective, what round would you draft him in next year if he's going to be a starting second baseman for the Rangers?
I think, 15-ish.
Right.
Which is about where we drafted him this year. So.
Yeah.
And $260 budget, was he like $10 player?
I'd say no more than that.
Yeah, I'd put him more like 5-6 range.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right, let's get that worryometer out. Oh, Mike Trout left the game yesterday after aggravating his sore back, which means Colin McHugh has now faced the Angels twice with Mike Trout only batting one time.
chalk up his success to that. And I was worried about that start. I made him a recommended sit. His stock for me is definitely rising based on that start.
He throws harder than he did the first time I saw him like a month ago or so, and looked good, even though he only threw 5 innings. He threw a lot of pitches, but whatever, we'll get to him.
Yeah.
Worryometer! Joe Nathan. 3 really bad outings in a row, 8 earned runs. He got the loss yesterday. Now, 4 earned runs in the outing. He himself only gave up 1. And he kind of, sort of, almost got out of it. There was like a potential double play ball that Danny Wirth and Ian Kinsler both went for. Neither got base hit. And then Ian Kroll came in and gave up a home run to allow inherited runners to score. But where are you on worryometer on Joe Nathan?
About a seven. And that's up a lot because a couple weeks ago when you were asking us about him, I really wasn't worried at all. But he is very hard to figure out because, like you said, there's this inconsistency, extreme badness, goodness, then some more extreme badness. And his velocity isn't down. And so I did think he would be a bust this year, but the reason was I thought his velocity would be down more. So he's been bad like I expected, but not for the right reasons.
Right.
So I'm discouraged, but not giving up yet.
It's two outings in a row where there's been like one play on the infield that hasn't been made that has extended the inning and led to a lot of really bad stuff. That said, he's still putting himself in these bad situations. I don't want to make it sound like that's the only thing that's happened. You said a 7, Scott. Where are you for Nathan?
I'm probably about a 5 because I feel like one, they invested a lot in him as the closer to kind of fix this problem they've had for the last few years. And two, I don't think their bullpen is deep enough for them to really play around with it too much. And like Al said, there's not really any underlying warning signs that would lead you to believe, okay, he's just washed up. So I think they'll stick with him, and I think sticking with him, he'll turn things around and still be a top 10 reliever for you.
If you want to get someone just in case. Jabba?
Yeah, I think so.
Agreed.
Got the save on Friday when Nathan wasn't available and has been pitching really well, so it makes sense. Trevor Rosenthal gave up a run in a non-save situation. First walk and run allowed in 7 appearances for Rosenthal, his last 7. Worryometer on Rosenthal. Scott?
I'll go 4.
Okay.
I think he's turned things around for the most part with the...
I'll say 2, and it's only not a 0 because Jason Mott looms there as an alternative.
D. Gordon went 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts and an RBI. Worryometer?
Let's go 4 there also. 4 being... I could conceivably see him losing playing time because of this, particularly since he's a left-handed batter who struggles against lefties, but I don't really expect it to happen.
Yeah, exactly what I would say, but for some reason that equals a 3 for me.
And
different calibrations.
Mentioned on the video show yesterday that before yesterday's game, so going into June 3rd, in Gordon's like last 10 games, some stretch, he was hitting like 186. Been really cold.
Yeah.
And he was still the number 10 shortstop in fantasy over that time.
Yeah.
Just because he steals so many bases.
He does.
Dan Haren. So 8 home runs allowed in his last 5 starts. Third time in 4 starts, he allowed 2 home runs. This was a 6-inning, 6-hit, 4-run, 1-walk, 2 strikeout performance against the White Sox. 5 times in Haren's last 6 starts, he has struck out 3 or fewer. And where are you on Dan Haren on your worryometer? He started in 60% of leagues right now, owned in 91%.
10's a drop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm at a 10.
You drop him?
I drop him, yeah.
I was going to go 9, but
wow.
Yeah, pretty kind of over Dan Haren. The lack of strikeouts, I mean, he's not really anything without that.
If we could extend ours Spinal Tap style to 11, where 11 means, you know, that you wouldn't even consider picking him back up again. He's still just a 10 for me. So he's not dead to me, but he's a 10.
Interesting. All right, but would you drop him for Eddie Butler?
No.
Yeah, no. Not no.
James Shields. 5 earned runs in 5 1/3 at St. Louis. He allowed 2 home runs. That's certainly 3 disappointing outings in a row, maybe 4, depending on how you interpret his start against Baltimore. 7 home runs allowed in his last 3 starts. And remember, this guy, James Shields, allowed 20 home runs in 228 and 2/3 innings last year. Let's take a look, though, at where Shields' last 4 starts have come, this little disappointing stretch. Baltimore at home, then at the Angels, at Toronto, and at St. Louis. So the matchups have been pretty tough on the whole. Worryometer on James Shields, 10's a sit.
I'm still gonna go like, so we're kind of we've kind of recalibrated it here to the
we're not dropping him, right.
Shields, so okay, so I'll go a little higher than 0 then to fit with the recalibration and say one. I feel like we see this from Shields like every year, a rough patch that he overcomes and is fine in the end.
Yeah. No. Again, with the recalibration, I'm giving him a four, but on the old, you know, one, that's like a one.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's thinkable that if this persists, and I agree with Scott, I mean, this is just a pattern we've seen before from Shields, but if this goes on for another like 3 weeks, I could see maybe sitting him.
I wouldn't mind making a trade offer for him right now.
That's a better idea. Yeah.
I'll take him.
Jason Wirth went 1-for-4 with a double and two RBI. Finally, a good game. He's really just hitting for no power. 407 slugging percentage, 5 home runs this year, 3 steals. He's crushing lefties, though, for you daily leaguers. He's hitting over 400 against lefties, but no home runs against lefties. Anyway, worryometer on Jason Wirth, 0 to 10. 10's a sit.
Okay, so recalibrated.
Keeping the same recalibrated calibration.
I'll go higher with him. I did just drop him in my rankings because this is 2 years ago. I mean, he didn't hit for much power either. Last year was kind of the outlier as far as the last few seasons of his career have gone. I'll say 6.
Yeah, I'll go 6 also. And I'm coming at this from a position of liking Wirth more, I think, than Scott did going into the season.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, he's healthy. Let's assume continued health. And when he's healthy, he hits for power. So this is perplexing to me that he's gone this long with this little power.
So, Scott, where did you move him in the rankings, Jason Wirth?
I think out of the top 25 in the outfield when before he was in the top 20. So between 5 and 10 spots down.
Would you rather have Cespedes or Wirth, guys?
I think in Roto I have Cespedes ahead, but maybe in head-to-head I have Wirth ahead because of the plate discipline. Wirth is still a good source of that.
That's a really good question. I still have Wirth ranked higher. It's something to look at because Cespedes is hitting for more power, and I think there's batting average upside for him now that he's striking out less this year, Cespedes.
Would you rather have Brandon Moss or Jason Wirth?
Moss.
Woo!
Yeah, it's not even a question for me.
Top 25 outfielder for you.
Yeah, I think you don't have your laptop up, do you?
No, I have
kind of want to verify. I kind of want to verify as quickly as I said that. I know Moss is ahead in Roto. I know it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, I've got Wirth ahead of Moss right now. I'll take a deeper look at this when I do rankings review later today.
There you go.
Because it's possible I might prefer Moss and Cespedes to him.
How about Tuesday's standouts? Did you guys just feel like everybody stood out yesterday? I had trouble coming up with topics for yesterday's show based on Monday's 8 games. But Tuesday's 15 games were just ripe with compelling storylines. John Singleton drew a bases loaded walk and he homered in his major league debut. And that was pretty cool. I don't know.
He
hit 6th. I'd like to see him hit a little bit higher, but he could earn that.
Yeah. They'll move him around.
And then the following pitchers were really good. Henderson Alvarez, third complete game shutout of the season. 3 straight outings without allowing an earned run. Zach Wheeler is 1-1 with a 1.37 ERA in his last 3 starts. 3 walks, 23 strikeouts in 19 2/3. But they did come against Arizona, at Philly, and at the Cubs. Chris Archer was really good against the Marlins. And his last 4 starts, he's allowed 3 earned runs with 31 strikeouts. But 15 walks, and this was the only time Archer pitched over 6 innings. Drew Hutchison dominated at Detroit. 7 scoreless, 3 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts. That gives him a 2.03 road ERA, 7.71 at home. And Colin McHugh, 5 scoreless, 2 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks against the Angels over a strikeout per inning. What do you guys want to talk about?
I could talk about,
yeah, I know,
any one of them.
Yeah.
So I'll pick one. I'll pick Zach Wheeler to start out with because you mentioned his last 3 starts, the strikeout to walk ratio. I make it 4 starts. I know the one right before he gave up some runs, so that's why you don't include it. But the strikeout to walk ratio, that's kind of where it started to go this positive direction. And it was a disaster at the beginning of the season. It was really the source of all his struggles. It was just how many free passes he was allowing. So I don't know that this is like a permanent fix for him, but knowing the upside and how good he can be, and we've seen it with the last 3 starts, I mean, you're talking about somebody you really can't bench right now, I don't feel like.
Are you, I don't want to use the word concerned, but are you considering the fact that Wheeler's last three starts were against, you know, very favorable matchups? Arizona at Philadelphia at the Cubs.
I don't think you can ignore it, but it's what was wrong with Wheeler before the walks? I feel like that would show itself.
So you feel like as long as he's throwing strikes, he's going to be good?
Yeah.
Okay. Al?
And I agree with that. I still would like to see him in some starts against teams with better plate discipline in their lineup, because this is a very favorable stretch for him given what his strengths and weaknesses are.
What was the fourth start against? The one where he gave up the runs. Do you have his page open there?
I do not.
Oh, sorry. I thought you did. Yeah, putting you on the spot.
But look, I mean, the Marlins are going to be a good matchup for him, most likely. The Braves are going to be a good matchup for him. The Phillies are one of these matchups.
Yeah.
So
I think the Mets would be.
If he could face them.
Right.
Oops. The Nationals right now are not a tough matchup.
I love it when I do that. And I'm like working on a column or a piece of analysis or something. It's like, wow, this would be a really great matchup for this guy. Oh, that's his team.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'll be like, Jared Weaver gave up 4 runs in 6 innings against the Angels. You know,
intra-squad, yeah.
All right, let's move on to someone else then.
Okay.
Henderson Alvarez, are you going to try to pick him up? 60% owned.
No, I actually feel like this is a two-start week for Alvarez. So that actually is a maybe even slightly low for Alvarez for a two-start week. But in the one-start weeks, I'm only interested in him when he's facing somebody like the Rays, a team that's not doing very well offensively. So I'm not to knock him, but it's just he's more of a two-start guy for me.
He's so, like, he either does this or he gives up 6 earned runs in 4 innings, you know? And
yeah.
And no strikeouts really in between, so it's just to me he's too unpredictable. To even if his all numbers are going to look good at the end, it's just he's not the kind of pitcher you're going to stick with every week. So when do you start him?
Chris Archer, are you guys encouraged?
Yeah, I'm all in.
Yeah, who do you like better, Archer or Wheeler?
Archer, yeah.
I like Wheeler better, but I mean they're so close.
Who do you like better, Hutchison or McHugh?
I still like Hutchison better. I feel like I know there's been some inconsistency with him, but I just feel like it's mostly been in terms of the innings. The strikeout to walk ratio has been good. And I feel like if you came into the season, coming into the season, you told me Hutchison was doing this and McHugh was doing this, I mean, I would have believed the Hutchison more. So although I am coming around to McHugh, I'm not really like losing faith in Hutchison.
McHugh, like I said, for this last start, I'm definitely going to bump him up in my rankings. They're very similar. Fly ball pitchers who can't get a lot of strikeouts, McHugh's actually done a better job of that recently. So for now, I actually will go with McHugh.
Would you drop Dan Haran for Henderson Alvarez, Drew Hutchison, or Colin McHugh?
Hutchison and McHugh, not Alvarez.
Would you rather have Ubaldo Jimenez than any of those three?
Yes, I would.
All of them?
All of them.
Wow.
I moved Ubaldo up in my rankings yesterday, even though he failed to get a complete quality start yesterday.
I might be ready to move him behind Hutchison and McHugh. I mean, the walks, he's kind of like the new Zach Wheeler as far as that goes.
If you had Justin Masterson, would you drop him for Hutchison or McHugh?
No.
I might do that. Yeah, I might do that. I regret dropping Masterson in the podcast league. The head-to-head points one?
Well, I don't, because I'm playing you this week. I don't regret your dropping him.
Yeah, because obviously the last start was great, but he's kind of he's better than Alvarez because he gets strikeouts usually, but he's as unreliable as him.
So what was your answer? Oh, you said you might.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Hutchison or McHugh.
Okay, let's move on. This next grouping, We're going streaking. Looking at some hot hitters. Tell me who's standing out to you. Xander Bogaerts has homered in back-to-back games, and he's scoring a bunch of runs, batting second for the Red Sox. Michael Bourne hit a two-run double against the Red Sox in that win. Lonnie Chisenhall had two hits and an RBI. Brad Miller, six for his last 16 with a home run, four RBI, five runs scored, and only six strikeouts in his last 12 games. Evan Gattis has a six-game hit. Did I see a fist pump there?
That was kind of a halfway fist pump, yeah.
Evan Gattis has a six-game hitting streak with four home runs and nine RBI. Alex Gordon is going Eric Hosmer on us like last year. Change the hitting coach and go nuts. Since the hitting coach changed, Dale Swaim taken over there. He's got three home runs in five games, and he's the number 14 outfielder in points leagues, number 23 in Roto. And Josh Willingham, 29 home runs in 2011, 35 in 2012, awful in 2013, but four home runs in his last six games, and he's 42% owned. 35 years old, Josh Willingham. All right, I gave you a lot of names. Anyone you'd like to highlight?
Yes, Lonnie Chisenhall. Okay. Scott was wondering whose stats page I was looking at a minute ago. It was actually Chisenhall. Thinking ahead. because I'm very surprised to see that he is now up to 15 doubles. But I'm not really buying it at all. I'm not buying the batting average. And I'm not really buying the doubles power either. And the home run power hasn't really been there to any, you know, great extent. He's hitting 220 on fly balls in play. That is a rate that is much greater than double the major league rate. And actually, there's a weird trend, and I don't really know where to go with this, but just to throw it out there. Over the last two seasons, BABIP on fly balls has gone down a bunch.
BABIP, Jesus. Okay, well, if you're going to keep pronouncing
it that
way.
Just overlook that and do the content of the message here. I don't know if it's out. It's weird because I thought maybe it's outfield shifts. But, you know, there's at least as many, I think, infield shifts going on, and yet ground ball batting averages remained steady. So I have no idea what that's about. But what it says to me is that if you live by the fly ball and you don't have a lot of power, this is not a good time to have that kind of game. And that is who Lonnie Chisenhall looks to me, a fly ball hitter that doesn't have extreme home run power.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. How about anyone else from this list? Are you hopeful for Brad Miller?
Oh, yeah. I'm always hopeful for Brad Miller. I still think he could be a good player, a very good contact hitter, even though that's been about the furthest from what he's been so far this year. But I'm not rushing to pick him back up necessarily. I mean, he needs to get a lot hotter than this for that to happen. But, yeah, I'm encouraged. And I'm especially encouraged by Willingham, who you mentioned four home runs in six games since coming off the DL. I believe it was it a wrist injury he was dealing with?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was too. And you mentioned he was terrible last season. He had some injuries going on, missed a lot of time. The thing about him is he gets so streaky that if he misses like the wrong portion of a season, that's the way his numbers are going to look. So I'm not sure. Since he is getting up there, you said 35 years old now, I kind of worried, like everyone else, that last year was a sign of steep decline for him. But the way he's come off the DL, walking and homering like crazy, I mean, that looks like Josh Willingham of 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's a useful player for sure.
And if you're worried about the park, because I know it's a big park and guys don't homer so much at Target Field, but he hit 29 in Oakland, or, you know, with the A's that 1 year. And he hit 35 with the Twins, and I just remember looking it up last year. The splits were pretty even.
Yeah.
So he can
and
he
good
can
power
hit
with the Marlins, too.
Yeah, he can hit it out of ballparks for sure. Right, and that's when the Marlins are, well, their new park isn't any kinder. But their old park was a pretty big pitcher's park as well. Which one was worse? This one worse?
I think the new one actually is worse for hitters.
Wow. But better for fans.
That's for sure.
Injuries, news, and notes. Carlos Beltran could be back Friday.
Yeah, he's one of the better switch hitters in baseball.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, who's the best switch hitter in baseball? You missed a lot of fun on yesterday's video show.
It sounds like it. Man, that's I want to say it's not him.
No, it's not.
But I'm struggling to come up with a name. We had a very hard time.
Off the top of my head. We needed viewer help.
Yeah.
Well, we came up with the one that everybody was yelling at us about, but it took a segment. And then during the break, we were like, oh, Victor Martinez.
Yeah, okay.
And then Reyes was one that we totally whiffed on.
Okay, yeah.
Melky Cabrera.
Yeah.
Dexter Fowler.
Yeah.
Not a good crop of switch hitters.
Yeah, I mean, the one when you asked the question, the name that immediately came to mind was Chipper Jones.
Of course.
And of course, he's retired now.
For so many years, that's been the go-to answer is Chipper Jones.
And honestly, Mark Teixeira came to mind, too, even though I know he can't be the best either.
He homered yesterday.
He's on the list.
Michael Pineda's on the 60-day DL. He won't be back this month. Johan Santana could start for Baltimore on June 19th, which is my 30th birthday.
Wow.
Get your Johan on.
That's your birthday present from the Baltimore Orioles.
Well, I hope they're playing the Yankees. That would be a nice birthday.
Oh, man.
Joey Votto may begin a rehab assignment soon. He strained a muscle above his knee. Aramis Ramirez will likely return tonight as the DH at Minnesota. Josh Reddick on the DL with a hyperextended left knee. Who do you think that could benefit?
Who could it benefit?
Maybe Craig Gentry.
Yeah, I think he was in the lineup yesterday. I was thinking maybe blanks if they just keep Moss in the outfield.
Yeah, that's a possibility too. And takes pressure off the catcher situation. As well. Jason's still healthy, right? I know they called up Stephen Vogt recently.
He started catcher yesterday.
Yeah, he caught yesterday.
Yeah. They have so many moving parts. It's like hard to just pick out one guy that this helps.
Yeah, and they're good. They're very good.
Yeah.
Brandon Workman suspended 6 games for throwing behind Evan Longoria. It is ridiculous that David Price didn't get suspended and Workman
did. By the way, you know whose fault it is that Reddick is on the DL?
Who's?
George Michaels.
He's the one?
Well, sure. I mean, you walk up to Careless Whisper.
No, he's the one who walks up to Careless Whisper?
Yeah.
I hope if you haven't YouTubed Saxogram, what was it? Like Sexy Saxogram, man. Do it. It's hilarious. Workman plans to appeal the suspension. Gio Gonzalez will make a rehab start Friday. Steven Drew sat against a lefty, TJ House. Didi Gregorius headed up to replace Cliff Pennington for Arizona, but I'm guessing nobody cares?
No. No any good TJ House jokes?
Not anymore. Nick Franklin was sent down. Is Taiwan Walker going to the bullpen?
Whoa.
Isn't that what you said? Isn't that what somebody said?
No.
Yesterday on the show?
If I did, it was just complete
Wasn't there a report or something like that?
No, there was a report that he may not be in the starting rotation.
So where would he go? The minors?
Conceivably.
That's what I would have seen.
So is Taiwan Walker going to the minors?
I think that does make more sense. I think he's going to the rotation.
Okay.
Erasmo Ramirez cannot hold them down.
Yeah.
Couldn't hold anybody down yesterday. Just kidding.
Thralled. Is there a pun I'm missing there?
No.
Oh, okay. Colton Wong hit a grand slam. He also hurt his shoulder. He could miss a game. And Wellington Castillo is on the DL for the Cubbies. Here's some food for thought. Will Alex Wood get back in the Atlanta rotation? He is awful. In relief, he's a 5.14 ERA as a reliever.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how to interpret that. Like, well, I'm not sure how to get in the Braves' heads and figure out how they will interpret it as, okay, right. Well, he's not comfortable in this role. Let's get him back where he's most comfortable. Or something's wrong with him. Let's send him down to the minors. I think certainly Gavin Floyd's start yesterday helps the cause of the Alex Wood stasher.
Right.
Because it was a bad start. Really, it's first that you look at the line and say, oh, well, that's Gavin Floyd. But at the same time, he has given up a lot of hits every single start. I think about a hit per inning or a little more the whole time he's been in the Braves staff. So hopefully the wheels are starting to come off for him. And I'm still stashing Wood like I always have.
Jay Bruce singled. He doubled. He scored twice. He drove in 2 runs. And, Al, he stole his 6th base.
Can't stop him.
Without being caught this year, his career high is 9, and he's missed 2 weeks. So is Jay Bruce like kind of a base-stealing threat? Is there something to this?
He appears to be. I mean,
he was okay in the minors as far as steals went. Yeah. He wasn't a non-factor.
Interesting.
So I could see him I mean, I don't think he's going to steal 30, but I could see him getting 20 or close to it.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Now he just needs to start hitting some home runs. And will Brock Holt have a role with Boston when Mike Napoli returns, probably this weekend?
Yeah, I just don't see how. He's certainly done everything
outfield?
He can. I don't know that he's ever played there.
I think that I read that they were
because that would be the place
considering it.
Yeah,
they could use a corner outfielder. Even when Victorino comes back,
he'd probably just be like some outfield, like a super utility type. I don't see him playing enough to factor in fantasy. I mean, it's already the lack of power is already a big enough hurdle to overcome in terms of his fantasy value.
Who's going to lead off for that team? I mean, Bogarts? They don't really have an ideal leadoff hitter because Sizemore and Bradley have been so disappointing. Oh, Victorino could lead off, I suppose.
Well, he was. I think he was.
That makes
sense. When he gets back.
Right. All right. Good returns. These guys came off the DL and were awesome. Jose Abreu has hit 2 home runs since returning from the DL at the Dodgers.
They came back from injury.
Right, not the DL.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, some DL.
Yeah, some DL. He was DL. Mark Teixeira wasn't. He returned to the Yankees lineup. He homered against Oakland, and he's got 10 home runs this year with 23 walks and 34 strikeouts, only 3 doubles. Brandon Moss returned, and he homered twice yesterday at the Yankees. This year, much better plate discipline. And already halfway to his home run total, 15 this year, 30 last year. Nelson Cruz returned, and he homered at Texas. Josh Hamilton returned, and he homered at Houston, and he would have homered at any other park in the first inning, but he hit a ball about 415 feet to that stupid hill, and Dexter Fowler caught it.
Yeah. That's a good note.
And Josh Almost Hamilton
a two-homer game.
Has hit 3 home runs this year. They've all been at Houston. I think he's only played like 10 games, though. Ryan Zimmerman came off the DL. He played left field, and he doubled twice. And Billy Hamilton returned from the elbow injury, and he had a big game against San Francisco. But when Tim Lincecum's pitching like that, everybody has a big game.
And if he ever develops power, then he can be Billy Hamilton.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that seems like
it's
not going to happen.
Probably not. Not a likely scenario.
So do you want to talk about any of these guys? Abreu, Teixeira, Moss, Cruz, Hamilton, Zimmerman, Hamilton.
I kind of want to talk about Teixeira because I noticed you dropped him in the podcast league.
For
somebody good.
Jonathan Singleton.
Yeah, okay.
So Teixeira homers, and I'm like, oh, why'd I do that? And then Singleton homers. Like, yeah, all right. That's cool.
I wanted to pick up Teixeira like even before this game, but I already have Chris Davis, Anthony Rizzo, and Adam LaRoche, so more first baseman than I can play as it is. But I think that might have been premature, whether it was for Singleton or not.
Look, it's not performance, it's the wrist.
I understand, but he got the cortisone shot, obviously came back feeling good. Those cortisone shots can do some amazing things. I remember 2 years ago with Ryan Zimmerman, actually, another guy on this list, his shoulder problems that have been around for the last few years. But 2 years ago, they were at their worst. And I think through like May, he was doing absolutely nothing. He gets a cortisone shot and is just a monster the rest of the season. So it can mask, like its ability to mask pain. Or what does it do? Reduce inflammation, I guess, which maybe masks pain.
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
It helps.
Yeah. And it helps for as potentially like a long-term fix, rest-of-season fix.
Here's one thing about Teixeira, though. I did read that before yesterday, he was feeling better swinging righty than lefty. And yesterday, his home run
was as a righty
did come off Kazmir, a lefty, okay. So he was hitting righty.
Yeah.
I want to see how he does as a lefty.
But just, I mean,
but no, his, I mean, look, generally speaking, I don't want to drop.
Yeah,
Mark
what
Teixeira.
He's done in the as few at bats he has is really impressive, and he's back to being a high walks guy. I think his on base percentage is over 370 with a 240-ish batting average.
Yeah, I mean, it's hitting 248, which is you're going to take that from Teixeira.
Yeah,
but I know Al has Singleton a spot ahead of Teixeira.
A few spots ahead.
How about you?
I think he's behind. I think, or he may have been ahead. Because I was worried about the wrist, too. Like I said, I understand why you made that specific move. I just wish Teixeira wasn't the guy you dropped for your sake.
I completely agree. That's
because,
one of those leagues
we
where
care.
first base is just deep and
yeah. Like I said, I have too many as it is.
You look at what Morneau and Brandon Moss and LaRoche and Teixeira have done, the guys in that range. You're talking about a league where only 12 first basemen have to start. It's not easy. So I kind of went upside there, but not to say Teixeira doesn't have upside. Anyone that you want to spotlight, Al?
Not in particular. I mean, Moss, I think, deserves another look in my rankings. Abreu just continue to mash right away coming back.
Ridiculous.
Josh Hamilton is, like, let's not overlook what he did before he went on the DL. He's was hitting over 400. I mean, talking about a week's worth of games, basically.
Right.
But
yeah.
Was walking a lot. Just looks like last year's starting to look more like an aberration.
Yeah. It's weird. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But go for it, Josh Hamilton. Three down. Tell me if you're worried about any of these three guys. Yadier Molina is 5 for his last 38. Albert Pujols has 4 hits, including a home run and a double in his last 8 games, and only 1 walk. And he's only hitting .253 now. And Starlin Castro is batting .154 in his last 13 games to lower his batting average to .267. Yadi, Pujols, Castro.
Castro's the only one where I look at that and say, maybe. Because that's just, for Molina, that's just such an uncharacteristic span, and you just know he's going to hit for average. Pujols had a lot of concerns about coming into the season, but what he did early on erased those for me, so I'll just call it a slump for Pujols. But Castro, just because he was so awful last year, I do have some concerns just 2 months of the season about whether or not what he's done early on is really legit.
So is Castro a top 12 shortstop for you guys?
He is for me, but it's partially a reflection of the position. I mean, it's not like I'm 100% convinced he's back. I think there's a better chance than not that he's back. I mean, his overall numbers, even with the .267 batting average for that position, are pretty good.
All right, let's look at the rotation now. Now you can look up your shortstop rankings.
I knew he was right on the cusp, but in fact, he is 13th for me. So
there you go. Yovani Gallardo is 89% owned. It's ridiculous, right?
It's pretty high. Too high. I'd rather own Heron, actually.
Yeah, me too.
There you go. Yeah. CJ Wilson had a brutal start. 2 2/3, 6 hits, 5 runs, but he was dealing with the flu. So give him a break, people. Scott Kazmir, 10 strikeouts and 6 1/3 with 2 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks at the Yankees. And his last start was a complete game. 6 hit, 1 run outing, no walks, 8 strikeouts against Detroit. So it's good to see the strikeouts back, right?
Oh yeah, because I was the only thing that was missing for a while.
Jordan Zimmermann had a good start, 8 scoreless innings against Philadelphia, only 4 strikeouts, but this is what he does. He's good. Bad
yep.
May, good start to June.
Yeah, and you can't always count on Zimmermann for the strikeouts. Right. A 4 strikeout game is not a concern.
And Homer Bailey gave up a run in each of the first 3 innings and then settled in. Quality start, 6 innings, 3 runs on 5 hits, 1 walk, like in the whip. And 7 strikeouts.
Yeah, the whip has been pretty good. He's been markedly better his last half dozen starts or so. But it's always like this where he still manages to give up like 3 earned runs. So the ERA from start to start is still pretty high, and that's annoying. But I feel like this is he's trending the right direction for sure.
Let's talk about the fringy starting pitchers. We have discussed some of them. We have Henderson Alvarez, good. Jaime Garcia, bad. Hiroki Kuroda, good. But, again, he only threw 93 pitches and had 2 hits at the time. So I still doubt that he's going to go deep into games. Tim Lincecum, horrible. Jake Peavy, surprisingly not that bad. In fact, he was doing fine until the last inning that he pitched, and then reliever came in, gave up some inherited runs. Drew Hutchison, really good. Jorge De La Rosa, not bad, except no strikeouts. And Colin McHugh, good. So, there's a big list today. Top 4.
All right, yeah. It should be pretty easy to pick out. Not going to order them yet. I'm just going to pick out the 4 here because McHugh will make it, Garcia will make it, Kuroda will make it, and I'll take Hutchison over Alvarez.
Those are my 4 also. I'll rank them. Kuroda, Hutchison, McHugh, and Garcia.
Kuroda, Garcia, McHugh, Hutchison.
I'm just not sure about Kuroda, what you're going to get from him. I think the Yankees want to limit him to 100 pitches, and they're showing it. But they have a really good bullpen. It failed them yesterday. Betances and Warren both sucked. So I could see him pitching six innings and still getting his wins and still being Kuroda-like. And he hasn't had an ERA worse than 3.39 in four seasons. So what do you guys think?
I'd be interested in looking up, because you brought that up before, the whole pitch issue. And it's worth keeping in mind.
I didn't make that up. They said it themselves.
I just don't know how different that is from before. Like, he's not, I feel like he's efficient enough that he's not one of these guys that's throwing 115, 120 pitches usually to get through seven innings. So I'm not sure that it makes that big of a difference, but I'd be interested in looking that up.
I see what you're saying. I mean, you could still get six innings, qualify for the win, get a quality start, get the bullpen to shut it down.
Yeah, I think his biggest issue has just been giving up a lot of runs.
Yeah.
But that's but the underlying stats are still good, and I feel like recently he's shown he's been a little better.
So he's number one for you, Al?
Yeah, Kuroda number one for me as well.
And not giving up on Jaime?
No. Still hasn't walked anybody. Maybe he should, because maybe he'd be a little less hittable. But
yeah, he's a hittable guy throughout his career.
That's kind of the knock I have on him. Like, I took a closer look at all the what are the numbers that influence FIP most? Strikeout rate, walk rate, home run rate. And I get why Al likes him, because consistently through his career, those have all been, well, the walk and home runs rates have been good. Strikeout rate has been slightly above average, maybe. But the WHIP is always so high because he gives up so many hits, and maybe that's just bad luck, but when you have that bad of luck for that long, it starts to seem less like luck.
Okay. Deep leagues, anybody care about TJ House or Chase Anderson, who had a nice start at Colorado?
It was encouraging. Yeah, anytime you escape Colorado with one earned run and a win, that's a plus. But I am a little discouraged by the strikeouts, just 14 in the 21 and two-thirds innings, because I've viewed Anderson, we got called up, as sort of a Cole Mentor-like guy that could give you a low whip, might be an ERA risk, but with more strikeouts than Cole Mentor, and that hasn't really panned out. So, but it's only four starts so far, right? So.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
And 21 and two-thirds, so not exactly going deep into games.
Yeah.
You said escape from Colorado. You guys ever see Escape from L.A. or Escape from New York?
New York, not L.A.
I've seen neither.
I saw
the cities,
L.A.,
nor the
New
movies.
York.
Yeah.
You never been to either city?
Never been to either city.
How about that?
Snake
taking it back.
You gotta go, man.
Gotta travel the world, or at least the lower 48.
I don't know what to recommend first, New York or L.A. What would you say?
New York.
New York?
I think,
but New York in the summer.
Or
in the spring.
I'm more interested in seeing New York.
L.A. is awesome, though. It really is.
I do like L.A., but yeah.
I love L.A. Sorry. Come on. We love it. All right, in the bullpen, Cody Allen, 40% owned, fifth save, fourth since Friday. Ronald Belisario pitched a perfect ninth, got his fourth save at the Dodgers. Addison Reed got a save, but he gave up two hits and a run. And Sean Doolittle has thrown 15 and a third consecutive scoreless innings. He is 75% owned. Addison Reed gave up a two-low homer. Do you think we should pick up Ziegler?
Can't hurt.
Not a high priority for me, but yeah, it can't hurt.
Jabba or Ziegler, if you were going to speculate?
Ziegler.
Same for me.
Okay, thanks, guys. A little bit short today. I apologize. I was super late getting the notes done because yesterday was mind-blowing. But we're back tomorrow with Grade the Trade. And check out John Heyman on our Fantasy Baseball Today video show today live at noon Eastern, fantasynews.cbsports.com. First, Scott White, now Melchior. I'm Adam Azer. Thank you all. See you later.